Take number one, that we as the girls in the house walk by faith. Because there is a giant in front of every promise that God has for us. You know, I love what he said to Joshua. Here's the promised land. He gave him grapes and he gave him pomegranates to look at. God will always give you an advertisement of what the promise is because he understands us. He knows that we like incentives, right? We want to see what it is we're believing for. Sometimes you're believing for a good marriage. He'll put a really good marriage in front of you to look at. And he'll say, I want what she's having. That's an advertisement that it can be yours because he's no respecter of persons. If he did it for her, he'll do it for you. She's just walked through some steps that maybe you haven't walked through yet. Are you with me? So I know that God wants to do amazing and supernatural things this year. But it's going to require us to be willing to do what it takes on our part to see the manifestation of the promises of God. Because like I said, there is a giant in front of every promise. But those giants are nothing more than breakfast for us. Because Caleb said to Joshua, if God is with us, then their protection is gone and they're bread for us. In other words, they're our meat, they're our food, they're breakfast for us. Giants are the breakfast of champions. Don't be afraid of the giant in front of the promise. But that means that God's got to be bigger in us than the giant that is looming in front of us, whether it's finances, whether it's loneliness, whether it's a marriage that is absolutely on the rocks, whether it's kids that have gone south, whether it's a health issue, whatever it is in your life that you are believing God for, there will be a giant to tell you you can't have it. But God says it's ours, and this is nothing more than training for us because we are learning how to rule and reign with Jesus Christ for all eternity. So we are going on the offensive, and we are stopping going on the defensive and being cowed and intimidated by everything we hear, we see, or we are experiencing. God is not in recession. He is not in recession. Now, he will get us through it. But that should not stop you from believing God for the impossible and what you want in your life if he says you can have it. So we are asking you this morning, as we preach this, Jess and I, and I thought it was appropriate because you've just quit or taken a leave of absence and you're not working anymore. So now you're still working, you just don't get paid for it and it's all volunteer time. Because I was so sick, I said, Jess, you got to preach this. But I thought it was so appropriate, number one, that God would have both generations up here. So listen up. You're getting it from the old lady and from the young lady, okay? We're going to give you six things. We're going to ask you to do some homework. We're going to ask you to take these pieces of paper that we're giving you. Have we passed them out? We're going to ask you to take them home and pray about them and think about them because this is your goals for 2010. We are going to ask you to write these things down. We are going to ask you to pray about it and do these six things. Because I believe by 2011 that we'll have testimonies at Girlfriends about how these things came to pass. Now, some of you have already set goals. Some of you haven't even thought about it. So let's start. We're going to give you six things. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for your word that brings light to us. Lord, that your word is able to change us and rearrange us and save us, transform us for its life and its healing and health to our bones. So I thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit this morning who's the revelator and the teacher. And I thank you for these darling, beautiful, amazing, incredible daughters that you've brought to Girlfriends 2010. And Lord, we humble ourselves before you this morning. And Lord, I bow my knee before you this morning and I ask that 2010 would be a year for our woman's ministry and for the girls at the Rock. That Lord, we would look back in our lives and we would say 2010 was a banner year. 2010 was a year of miracles. It was a year of change. It was a year of redirection. It was a year where we met with God that we'll never forget. Lord, I pray that there would be a warrior princess and a spirit of offensive warfare in every daughter that you've brought to this house, that she would not be intimidated by darkness, and she would not be deceived by the God of this world, but Almighty God, that she would stand as a magnificent, incredible daughter of God, and that she would live your purposes for her generation in 2010. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, number one, goal planning 2010. How do I set goals in 2010? Three things. There's going to be spiritual goals we want you to talk about. There's going to be personal goals that we want you to talk about and think about and pray with to God. And there's going to be family goals or relational goals. In other words, what do you want to see happen in your life spiritually in 2010? What is it? Where is it you want to grow to in 2010? Number two, what are your personal goals? What do you want? What do you want to see? Maybe it's I want to lose 10 pounds, or I want to get healthy this year. I want to develop an exercise regime, or I want to change the way I eat. Maybe it's I want to go to school. I want to learn this. Personal goals. What is it you want for you this year? And number three, family goals, relationships, because everything hinges on relationships. How do you want to see your family this year? How do you want to be in your family this year? What about your outside influence? What about your friends? Maybe you don't have a lot of friends. Maybe a goal this year is, Lord, I want to have a girlfriend. I want to learn how to be a friend this year. Maybe I want to be a better wife, or maybe I want a husband this year. Relational goals. So there's three things: spiritual, personal, and relational. Number one, how do I do this? Number one, get with God and pray. First thing, get with God and pray. Now, we don't have this on the overhead, but I'm going to say it by memory because I've preached this to you so many times. Amplified version, Proverbs 16:3, roll your works upon the Lord, and he will cause your thoughts to become agreeable with his will, and so shall your plans be established and succeed. So the first thing I've got to do when I'm establishing a goal is I've got to get with God. Lord, here's my heart. This is what I'm thinking. Lord, I'm giving it to you. And Lord, if it's not what you want for me, then turn my heart. Because I have your word that says I can roll my works on you. I can take every problem, every desire, every concern, every yearning, every passion in my heart. That God, I can give it to you. And when I give it to you, Lord, if it's not what you have for me, then, Lord, turn my heart, because it says in Proverbs that he holds the heart of the king in his hand. And as the water courses, he turns them whatever way he wants. So when you give him something and you give him permission to change it in you, then he will. And if he doesn't change it, then you know that it's okay and that this is good for you. Now, I was sitting with T.L. Osborne, a great evangelist, and he told me these three things one day. He said, when you're wondering what the will of God is, number one, ask yourself, is it good for God? Is it his will for my life? Is it going to bring honor to his name? For instance, I need to quit a job. I want to quit, Lord. Well, you know, listen, don't quit your job unless you're a stripper, a drug dealer, a bartender. If you're doing something that will not bring honor to God in your profession, then yes, quit. It's time to move on. But until God tells you to quit something else, don't quit it until you get a go-ahead from God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Is it good for God? Number two, is it good for others? Everything about our lives is others-oriented. Everything. We are not an island to ourselves. It's not good for man to be alone. God never made us to do life alone. He made us to bring our gifting and the magnificence of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. He brought us together so that we could together get better. When we're all together and released and free and in love and in an atmosphere of safety, we become what we've never been. And iron sharpens iron. And whatever God wants me to do this year, it's going to be good for other people. Because T.L. said this, if it's good for God, if it's good for others, then it'll be good for you. So, get with God, write it down. Jess has a verse, Jeremiah 29:12. Then you will call upon me And go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Jess, number two.
It's good. So first, you're going to pray it. You're going to get with God. Get alone. Because so many times I know in my life, I can't get alone. It's like now I have little ones, you know, and they follow me. I literally yesterday was like this with Micah all day long, you know, and I'm like, I need to pray. Leave me alone. But you know what? Get with God. Make time. Find a space where you and God can be alone. It might be just a short period of time. It doesn't have to be long. But don't make your life purposes and your plans and your goals without him. Otherwise, they're not going to work. So your first step is to pray. Your second step is to write it down. What an option for us. So many times, it's funny, yesterday, it's weird that she ended up calling because it was my first official stay-home mom day. You know, my husband gave me a list of chores I was supposed to do before. And can you get the dry cleaning? And that one was really funny for us because I kind of looked at him like, are you kidding me? That's like totally typical mom thing, you know, to go do, get the dry cleaning. And we laughed. And after that, my best friend had called and we were talking about goals. We were talking about, well, now that we're both stay-home moms, we kind of talked about some things that we were, you know, putting in our hearts for this year and how we're going to keep each other accountable. But I told her, I said, I have so many things I want to do, but I need to write them down and slowly check them off and not try and do them all in one day, you know. And it was just funny that the Lord then had my mom call because it was everything we had already talked about earlier that day, and I was already in my heart. And so the Lord talks about writing it down. And Habakkuk 2:2 in the Amplified, it should be up on the screen, it says, and then God answered, write this, write what you see. Write it out in big block letters so that it can be read on the run. The vision, the message is a witness pointing to what is coming. It aches for coming. It can hardly wait, and it doesn't lie. If it seems slow in coming, wait. It's on its way. It will come right on time. And you know, I love that. Isn't that awesome? Write it down. It's so simple. You know, the Lord is not like this complicated God where we can't understand him. He wants us to just lay it out. Write it on a tablet, guys. Pull out your pen and paper and say, what are some of my goals? What are some of the things that were birthed in my heart? Maybe a long time ago, I love that Dion said, there were things maybe you had thought about last year, things that you wanted last year from God, things that maybe he had put in your heart and you just kind of let it go. You kind of just didn't think about it anymore. Write it back down again. Put it back on your paper so it has to be in front of you. And maybe put it up on your window in your bathroom. Put it, you know, wherever you're, right when you get in the car, right in front of your dashboard. So you have to think about it. You know what? I'm going to keep losing weight. Oh, darn it, I just ate that donut. You know, like, okay, start over again. I'm going to get on the elliptical tonight. I'm going to turn on Fit TV and do a half an hour program. I don't know. Do what you have to do. But you know, it's self-discipline. Writing down is the first step to your self-discipline. In your goal. And so pray it and write it down. Get it in you, because when you write it down, it puts something in your spirit. It's almost like an accountability for yourself. So when you write it down, be accountable to run with the vision. That's what it makes you do. You have to look at it and go, okay, now it's on paper. It's not just coming out of my mouth or in my heart or in my thoughts, but now it's on paper. And now you're going to be accountable to run with that. Without a target, I love this, Pastor Deborah says, without a target, you will hit nothing. So if you're not writing it down, what are you really going for? What are you looking at? Is there something, a vision in front of you that you're striving for, you're going after? Don't hit anything, girls, this year. Let's hit everything that we've put down on those papers. If you conceive it, you can achieve it. You know, so many times maybe you've thought to yourself, oh, well, you know, I've given myself goals. I thought this a couple years in the past. Well, I always do goals and I never, ever even get to them. You know, it was always lose weight. I do have to tell you, last year, before I had this baby, I had done that fast for a month. Pastor Jim had called a fast. Do you guys remember that? And I did sweets, because that's like totally my weakness. So we went, and it was February 1st, and I was like, yes, I get to eat sweets. But why? Why would I do that? It was my goal to lose weight this year. And I started to pray about it, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, do it. And so I lost 13 pounds like within like 4 months because I had really been a regimented. I was regimented with my diet. I was regimented with my exercise. You guys can do it. Write it down. Even though maybe you failed in the past, who cares? This is not the past. This is the beginning of new things. Today's a new day. This is a new year. Write it down. Get it in you so that you can achieve it and you can hit your target. So good. Amen.
So good, Jess. Okay, goal number three. Point number three, Be accountable. After you've written it down, now we're accountable for it. Because we're accountable to God first, and then we're accountable to each other. And I want to give you a scripture. Proverbs 22:24 in the Message Bible says, don't hang out with angry people. Don't keep company with hotheads. Bad temper is contagious. Don't get infected. In other words, who you hang out with, who you're accountable to, is really what your future is going to look like. If you want to know, somebody once told me, if you want to know what your future is like, look at the people that you're doing life with. If they're on the road you want to be on, then that's where your future's going. If they're on the road you don't want to be on, then you need to change and find some people that you can emulate and copy and learn from so that you can change and you can be like them. Because don't be deceived. Bad fellowship will corrupt good behavior. So when we're accountable, we have to watch who we're accountable to. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Are you surrounding yourself with people who bring out the best in you? Or do you surround yourself with people who bring out the worst in you? Are you surrounding yourself with people that are impassioned for Jesus and love their husbands and love their children? Or do you surround yourself with people that are negative and complaining and they're always looking at the bad and they're never looking at the good? Do your friends have faith? Or are they full of fear and unbelief and doubt? You see, if you're on a goal and you're going to be accountable first to God and then to the people that you do life with, what are they saying? Are they with you in this goal? I know Jess and Robin are best friends. They've been best friends since they were in high school. I mean, junior high. I mean, Robin calls me mom because I'm her other mom. I mean, she lived at our house when Jess and Dad had the big fight. I mean, there was many fights, but the Cobras would always bring their fights outside so that the whole neighborhood could enjoy our family. And I remember when she was in high school and she came up, it was a Sunday after church, and she came driving up, and I mean, Dad had just had it because she screwed up really bad. And they had this nasty fight out in the front yard, true story. And our neighbors across the street got a cup of coffee because they always watched through their window. And they sat on their front steps and they watched the whole thing. She called him, what did you call Dad? Oh yeah, you called him an a-hole. Well, he came out of his skin. And she said, you're never going to see this pretty little face again. And off she goes with Robin. But they're best friends, and long story. But Robin and Jess have been accountable to each other. And Robin is committed to Jesus Christ. Robin, just stand up so everybody can see who you are. Batman and Robin, yeah, sidekick. But I trust Robin, and I know Robin loves God. I know when Jess tells Robin something that she can trust her heart with it, that Robin will prod Jessica in faith, because Robin's a woman of faith, and she believes God, and she's seen miracles in her own family, and she's an amazing woman of God. So who are you doing life with? You know what? Israel was led astray by 10 spies. 2 said we can take the promised land. 10 said we couldn't. So when you're accountable, watch who you're accountable to. If it can't be somebody in your home, that's okay. Find somebody here that you can share your goal with and be accountable to each other in faith. Jess.
It's beautiful. Do life well with each other. Be good to someone else as well. You be a good accountability partner for someone else. Not just you have one, but you be that for someone else. I was on the phone with one of my family members yesterday, and I just kept having to turn their words around a little bit. Well, you know, that's going to be a great thing that happens. And I had to keep changing the perspective of each sentence. And I realized, you know, Lord, maybe that is why you have me always talking to this person. Because it was a constant You know, let's change this perspective. Let's change this atmosphere. So you be the person that changes that atmosphere. You be the person that changes the perspective in the people around your world. Because I know, like, family, we're not telling you drop them off the face of the earth. They're family. Love them, but help them. Like I tell my daughter when she gets mad at my son, help him learn then the right way. Instead of getting so mad at him, let's both help him and teach him the right way of doing it. And so you are probably in their world to keep them accountable as well.
That's
so
good. Very good.
There you go. Okay, so number one was pray. Number two was write it down. Number three was be accountable. And number four was don't quit. It's just too easy to quit, isn't it? It just seems like that's kind of the way out. I'm going to just, you know, it didn't work. And we can justify it. How many times have you justified quitting? Oh, you know, I got so sick and I just couldn't follow up with it. And then, you know, oh, I never followed through with it because the finances never happened. Well, you know what? No more justification this year, okay? No more pouty, oh, poor me, I'm in my own pity party this year, okay? Let's just go for the goal. Let's not quit. Let's keep our eyes focused on Jesus. And so in Psalms 31:24 in the message, it says, be brave, be strong. Don't give up. Expect God to get here soon. I don't know about you, but it's easy to give up. But when you look at God, it's not easy to give up because he won't let you. There's so many times that I've wanted to be like, oh, forget it. I mean, honestly, when I was working, which was, wait, I haven't stopped. So when when I am working and there's pressure on us, because believe me, there's a lot of pressure with this job with lots of people, we hold all of your hearts in our heart. And so it gets heavy sometimes. And so I just remember there'd be days where it was like, it would be so much easier to just go home. You know, and it was like, and God would be like, well, I haven't told you to go home. So quit trying to quit on me. And it was like, yes, sir. You know, and have a fear of the Lord where he keeps you from not quitting. Have a fear that no matter what goal you've written down, you know it's from God, because first of all, you got with God, right? So then it's from God. And you wrote it down because he told you to write it down. So don't quit. Winston Churchill says, the nose of a bulldog is slanted backwards so he can breathe without letting go. I love that. I was like envisioning that. I'm like thinking, well, what is he biting? So, you know what? Just like that bulldog, you hold on to whatever that goal is. You hold on to whatever that need is. You hold on to whatever God has birthed in your heart, because it wasn't there by chance. It wasn't there just because maybe it was a thought in your mind and it was floating around someday. And you thought, oh, well, that would just be a good idea. How about, hello, maybe that's the Holy Spirit saying to you, hold on to this because I'm giving it to you because I know you'll carry it out. I know I can trust you with it. And I know that you will see it to completion. So don't quit, girls. It's not an option. If you make it an option in your life, you will use that option. But when you make things not an option in your life, you won't use it. For instance, marriage. Isn't that fun? It has its moments. Okay, so I'm going to confess. Me and Pastor Dan got in a fight last week. And I know, he was so mean. This time it wasn't me. And he was so mean. And so, no, he was wonderful. He's wonderful. And, but anyways, we did get into a little tiff. And our poor interns, I don't know where they're at. They're around here. Yes. Sindel's like, oh, Lord. She was in the office. Now, I warned them before they came on. There will be a fight in front of you. Sometime this year, you will see us fight. And so it got a little intense. And I left him at church. So he calls and he says, where's the car? I said, well, I don't know. You better find a ride home. Okay, so that's Cobra. He married my dad. And I call my brother. I say, listen, can you give Dan a ride home? And if you don't want to, he can walk. I'm okay with that. And my brother was seriously like, okay. Like, I don't think he got it. You know, like, hello. So Dad brought him home, of course, because Dad's good. So he calls me the right away. We made up right away. But it was something that it was like, I was so mad at him, and I was so hurt on my emotions and my feelings. And, you know, at that moment, you can blow things into, like, humongous. And all of a sudden, you can be like, well, you know, this is just stupid. And, you know, you can really allow justification to come in and a lot of options to come in to be negative, to say horrible things. And I had an option because my kids saw me crying for the first time, and they were like, what happened? And I'm like, oh, what do I tell them? And so I'm like, well, Daddy just said mean words to Mommy. And Micah, the whole night, I'm a spank daddy. He said bad words to you. And so Dion came home and Micah talked to him about it. And Dion bent over, Micah spanked him, and Micah felt much better. But I mean, we all laugh about it now. But you know, no matter how bad it gets in your marriage, those things are going to happen. You know it is, right? You know intense things are going to happen. You know you're going to have moments of intensity. You know you're going to have moments of trial. You know this because we're humanity and we live in a sin nature. That's just how it is. But for Dan and I, the word divorce is never allowed in our vocabulary. Not even allowed, not an option. If it ever came out of our mouths, I think both of us would like go to confession right away, like, because we have so drawn the line and made some rules in our marriage that those are not even words we use. So you know what, you guys? Don't allow things to become options in your lives and you won't quit. Okay?
So good. For those of you that don't know, Mike is 2 years old. Number five, be diligent. Be diligent in this goal. Nothing just happens. Nothing is going to just happen. Proverbs 12:24 says, diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in slave labor. Proverbs 10:4 in the New International Version says, lazy hands makes a man poor, but diligent hands bring wealth. In other words, in this goal, girls, you're going to have to set your pace and stay with it. There's something about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God are used interchangeably in the word of God. They're the same. There's something about God's kingdom. There's certain mysteries and there's secrets that God wants us to understand. And one of them is that consistency brings great power in your life. Let me say that again. Consistency brings great power in your life. Let me say it again. Consistency. In other words, doing it over and over and over and over. And if it's good, you do it again and you do it again and you do it again. And it becomes a habit and then it becomes a lifestyle. When you are consistent, you want to lose weight? Then we are going to have to consistently say no to the sugar and the fast foods, which put untold pounds on us. I mean, a Big Mac's like 1,000 calories. You know, we're going to have to start educating ourselves. We're going to have to start doing what it takes to make the changes. And that's going to take diligence and hard work. It's not going to just happen. It means what your goal is going to take God to bring it to pass, but it's also going to take us to bring it to pass. God doesn't work independently of us, nor do we work independently of Him. So if you're working, let's say your goal is a good marriage, then guess what? Then we're going to have to be diligent to be good wives. Whether they're rascals or not rascals has nothing to do with our diligence. If God told me that I'm to reverence my husband, I don't find a little clause in there that says if he's a bozo, you don't have to do that today. I've looked for that clause. I've searched the scriptures diligently for that clause. I have not found it, and I'm almost 60, so it's not in there. Diligence. William Carey was the father of modern day missions. He was born in England. He was the first one to India. And when he was in India, it's told that William Carey, after I don't know how many years of ministry there with his family, suffering many persecutions and much hardship, had only one convert. But William Carey, who was a shoemaker before he became a missionary, did something phenomenal. He learned the language and the dialect, and he translated the Indian Bible, or he actually wrote the Indian Bible. He translated the English Bible into the major dialect of where he was living. Now, something happened in 1812. All of his notes, all of his dictionaries, all of his lexicons, everything that he'd ever written about this was caught up in a fire, and it was all burned. In 1812, you didn't have computers and copies, so it was gone. Everything, his life work was gone, and this is what William Carey said. He said, the loss is heavy, but as traveling a road the second time is usually done with greater ease and certainty than the first time. See, I trust the work will lose nothing of real value. There are great difficulties on every hand, he wrote, and more are looming ahead. Therefore, we must go forward. Oh, that's amazing. There are great difficulties on every hand, he once wrote, and more are looming ahead. Therefore, we must go forward. In other words, there's a giant in front of the promise, but the giant is coming down, and you've got to run to him and not away from him, because the goal will be accomplished with you and God through consistency and diligence. Jess. I haven't touched it, if you want.
Something? It's good. Okay, so we've talked about praying, writing it down, being accountable, not quitting, and being diligent with the goals that we've made for ourselves. And so, you know, I love how Mom said, start somewhere and keep going forward. Be diligent. Stay on your race. Stay on your course. Know where God needs you to be. But in all of this, to wrap it all up, you say, okay, well, that's a lot of stuff. How do I keep my heart where it needs to be during these goals? This is how. You remain grateful. You remain grateful to who the King of Kings is and the Lord of Lords, because no matter what happens in your life, no matter what is set before you, I promise you there will be trials. I wish I could say, oh, you become a Christian, everything's wonderful. No, it actually seems like you become a Christian, you got to work a little harder. But you know what? You don't do it alone now. That's the coolest part of it. And so be grateful for that. You know, it's funny, yesterday, I know this is seriously a stupid story, but yesterday I went to go get gas, and something's wrong with our car where it fills up too much, and the gas splatters out of these holes in the nozzles and goes everywhere. I don't know, has that happened to anyone else? So it's the beginning of my day, and gas just all over me, like all over my shirt, all over my shoes, all over my pants, and I was like standing there like, oh, what am I supposed to do? And I'm like, this is my day off. I'm going to stay happy. I'm not going to be sad. Lord, thank you that I have clothes when I go home to have new clothes. And I'm not kidding you. I had to seriously catch myself from getting mad. I had to seriously catch myself from, oh, this stupid car, this stupid gas station, these dumb, you can go negative right away. Be grateful. I was all of a sudden grateful that I even had money to buy gas. I'm not kidding you. I got in the car. I'm like, you know what, kids? It's okay. We have money to buy gas. And I just started to just say what I was grateful for. Because if you can catch your heart right away to be grateful, you will be able to stay focused on your goal. Because when you become ungrateful, that's when bitterness is allowed in. And with bitterness, it becomes a root, and it starts to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and unforgiveness is attached to your bitterness. And all these things start happening, and you don't even understand the word grateful, because nothing seems grateful to you. Why would I be thankful for anything? Why would, life doesn't give me anything good. Well, you know what? Are you breathing today? Did you wake up this morning able to get to girlfriends? That's a miracle, because in China, they can't even do this. Everything's underground. Everything's hidden. They have to read their Bible in secret. And you know what? We get to read our word every morning. Do you get up in the morning and go, thank you, Lord, that I just get to pull my word out whenever I want, and I get to read it, and it gets to refresh my heart. Thank you, Lord, that when I get up in the morning, that, yeah, maybe you have a lot of responsibility and a lot of things to do during the day. Believe me, I know that. But, you know, thank you that I do have a lot of things to do, that there's people in my life that need me, that there's things in my world that actually need me to be part of their world. It's nice to be needed. It's nice to be wanted. If you feel that you're lonely, you know what? You're not lonely, because we need you here at The Rock. We need help around here. Get yourself involved. Be grateful for a church that needs you. Be grateful for the house of God that you can come in on Sundays three times in the morning, once at night, on Wednesdays, on Thursdays, on Fridays if you're a young adult, on Thursday mornings. I mean, there's so many Bible college. We have so many things for you. Be grateful for the people that we do give you opportunity to be in relationship with. If you're lonely, you have to be a friend to make a friend. Be grateful for that. Know that God has a plan. Keep your heart in an attitude of gratefulness and thankfulness, of knowing who he is and knowing that these goals he's given you, he doesn't give you more than you can handle. He didn't ask you to write down something that you won't be able to accomplish. Okay, so be grateful for it. In Psalms 104, in the New King James Version, it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. I love this. Grateful hearts don't get sidetracked. You don't. When you're grateful, you actually reap the blessing of God. When you're ungrateful, I believe God's kind of like, oh. You know, it's like that kid. I have the little kid, and I'm sorry, this is the world I'm in right now, is the little kid world. And when they want, they want, they want, they want candy, they want this, they want that. And when they're like snotty about it, you know what I'm like? No, you don't get it. You don't get, I'm sorry, you don't get it. And they can try and talk me into it. They can try and push my buttons. No, I said no, because your attitude and your heart is wrong. I had this conversation about 3 times with Micah yesterday. I said, your bad attitude and you're ungrateful and I'm not letting you have it. And he learned by the end of the day, he told me he's a good boy. But that's just like God. How many times have you been ungrateful? How many things has he done for you? How many goals have you actually set? He has made them happen. You've accomplished them, but yet you were ungrateful for them. Because then it almost seemed like something he owed you. Don't do that to God, guys. Everything that you have is given to you as a blessing. Your breath every day is a blessing. Your family is a blessing. Maybe they drive you crazy, but they're a blessing. Maybe your husband is a really hard husband to be with, but you know what? Start thinking of him as a blessing. Start being grateful for him. Start changing your perspective and knowing that these goals are not just to be here just because, but these goals are God-given goals and goals that you're going to be grateful for. And when you have a grateful heart for these goals, you will accomplish them and you will not get sidetracked. And I just wanted to finish with this verse in Philippians 3:14. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You know what? All of our goals are only for him. All of our goals are for his purpose, for his accomplishments, for his will, for his destiny. Your life is not for you. Your life is for him. So allow your goals to line up with him. Allow your goals to be with him. Allow your heart to be a grateful heart of gratitude and love towards him.
So good, Jess. Wasn't that good? From one generation to the next, we are going to declare that his name is famous. Paul said, I press towards the mark of the high calling of Jesus Christ. Forgetting those things that are behind, reaching towards the prize that he apprehended me so that I may apprehend what he has for my life. So as you go today and as you go to table fellowships and as you go to get with the Lord this week, because I hope that you really take some time with this. Even if it's bathroom time where you lock the door and the kids' fingers are under the door, you know, mommy, can you see me? That kind of time. Take some time with God. Roll your works on him. Ask him to turn your heart, change your heart. Be led by peace. It says, let the peace of God act as an umpire in your soul, settling with finality all thoughts and questions that arise. God, is this really your will? You know what? Everybody else may think you're crazy, but there'll be peace in your heart. It's okay. You listen to your heart after you've been with God, because he will talk to you. He wants you in his will more than you want to be in his will. Okay? So my darlings, I pray this year will be the most amazing year in your life. I pray that faith will rise in your heart, that you won't look at what happened last year as an indication of what this year holds, or a doctor's report, or a spouse that has hardened his heart, or children that seem to absolutely not care about you anymore, the God that you serve. That you won't look at those things, but you will look up and you will see the goodness of your God, and that he is able to give you grace, his power in you to do what his truth demands of you, his grace to get the job done when you can't. Give me your attention, not the attention of that cell phone. I pray that you will seriously consider 2010 and that you will approach with hope in your heart, with faith and with obedience, because God will do the supernatural if you are willing and obedient, because His will is to bring you good and not evil. I love you. Jess, go ahead.
All right. Amen. If you got something from God today, let's just thank Him. Lord, we love You. Thank You, Jesus.